Hello and happy Wednesday to you. This is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. We're thrilled that you join us each day at this time, or you might be listening on the podcast. Now, if you are, but you've never reached out to us, I hope that you'll consider doing that. And that's because we're doing question and answer sessions, and we have for a while. We hope that you'll send us your questions. You can do that by reaching out to us through email. It's radio@faithalone.org. Our featured question for today is this: could walking in the light refer to having ongoing assurance? What a great question, and I think that Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar are ready to answer it right now. So let's go to that discussion. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for tuning into the show. If you're a new listener, welcome. If you are a longtime listener, an extra welcome to you. Thank you very much for your support, and Amen. Thanks for financially supporting this podcast and our magazine and the blog that we do during this whole year of COVID. You guys have been so faithful. I mean, we've tried to keep our costs down to a minimum, but you guys have been so faithful and generous in giving, and we're just really thankful for you, and we're thankful to the Lord for providing for this ministry. Well, we're taking your questions, and here is a question from, it's a foreign name, but the first three letters are D-A-G, so I'll call him Dag. He basically has a question about three verses, but it's the same question for each verse. And so here's his question. Could walking in the light in 1 John 1:7 mean having ongoing assurance? And he says, please compare that with 2 Corinthians 4:6. And then he says, could that which you have heard from the beginning in 1 John 2:24 refer to the core gospel message? And lastly, he says, could being a doer of the word in James 1:22 refer to the core gospel message? Now, I'm not quite sure what he means by core gospel message. That's one question.
Right. Well, let me take a stab at it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And maybe you could read that for us.
Okay. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain.
Now, notice that the gospel is prevalent in verses 1 and 2. Now, most people start in verse 3 because it talks about Christ died, he was buried, he rose, and then he appeared to many over the course of 40 days, and all this according to the scriptures. But a lot of people bypass verses 1 and 2 because they don't fit their theology.
Okay.
Verse 2 says, we're saved if we hold fast to the gospel. That's not talking about saved from hell. That's talking about being spiritually healthy.
Yeah.
And what it's saying is that our spiritual health requires that we hold fast to the message of 1 Corinthians 15, 3-11. It's not saying that's all we're holding fast to. What it's saying is that the message of Christ crucified and risen is foundational to the entire Christian faith.
So would you say that salvation there is sanctification?
It is.
Salvation?
Right.
When you say spiritually healthy. So if you want to be sanctified, if you want to grow more like Christ, guess what? You got to hold fast to the gospel.
Absolutely. So if you call that the core gospel message, if that's what DAG means,
right,
that Christ died, that he was buried, that he rose, that he appeared to many, and that that's the core of, let's say, the Christian life. That's why, of course, the Lord's Supper looks at the death of Christ and anticipates his soon return. It seems to me, then, that he would be right to some degree in what he's saying. Let's go through the three. Is walking in the light the same as ongoing assurance? I would say yes and no. It includes ongoing assurance, but it's more than ongoing assurance.
Yeah.
You see, I can have ongoing assurance and be walking in rebellion against God.
Mm.
There's a book that Zane Hodges wrote called Here Walks My Enemy. And it's about a friend of mine, Luis Rodriguez. Luis, for a number of years, was walking away from the Lord, even spent time in reform school, and was away from the Lord for about 10 years.
Right.
During that whole time, he knew he was born again.
Mm.
He had ongoing assurance.
Sure.
He didn't doubt his salvation,
yeah,
because he knew it was a free gift. It was by grace through faith, apart from works.
Yeah.
So it's more than ongoing assurance. Walking in the light is a person who is sitting under the revelation of God. Light, I think, is a figure for God's truth, God's revelation.
So Dag says, compare it to 2 Corinthians 4:6. Let me read that verse for you. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown.
You're Sean. This is Sean.
This is Sean, right? Shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So it's in 2 Corinthians, this light is pretty general in the sense that it's the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. I mean, that's pretty broad.
Right. Now, I'd like to read what some of the commentators say about this, because there is a gold mine of stuff in this verse. But first of all, it looks back at the creation,
yeah.
The 6 days of creation.
It seems like it has like a literal reference to light, the
right.
God who brought light out of darkness, and then has a metaphorical
right.
use of it.
But do you notice this light which God has shown in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God is in the face of Jesus
right.
Christ.
So that light's coming from Jesus.
Right. And it's a common theme throughout all of Scripture, including 1 John,
yeah.
that seeing Jesus transforms us.
And that in itself is a reference to Moses, right? When
right.
His face, when he was speaking with God, his face just glowed. And he's saying Jesus is not only just his face is glowing, but he's the source of this light. Too,
absolutely.
You know?
Because 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, that's the glory of Jesus,
right.
are being transformed into the same image.
Right.
And you also find the same thing in 1 John 3:1. Brethren, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he appears, then we'll be just like him.
Yeah.
For we shall see him as he is. Seeing Jesus is transformative. So coming back to Dag's question, is it ongoing assurance? It includes it, but it's more than that. Walking in the light is seeing Jesus,
yeah.
of course. It is walking in his revelation,
right.
and he is the center of the revelation from
right.
Genesis to Revelation.
But is it strictly speaking walking in the promise of eternal life?
No.
The light is bigger than that.
Much bigger than that.
It's even bigger than the fact that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the dead.
Right.
It's a much fuller revelation.
Well, do you remember in Galatians chapter 2, Paul is talking about an experience he had in Antioch where Peter and Barnabas separated from the Gentiles, evidently at the Lord's Supper meeting, and they wouldn't eat with the Gentiles.
Right.
And Paul says, you're not being straightforward about the truth of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they weren't saying, wait a minute, justification isn't by faith. What Paul's talking about there, I think, is one of the ramifications of the gospel.
Sure.
Which is that Jews and Gentiles united together in one body
yeah.
was a mystery in the Old Testament, but it's part of the revelation of the gospel in the New Testament.
Oh, okay.
And so, to separate from Gentiles would be to deny the truth that Jews and Gentiles are united in one body, which is one of the essential aspects of the gospel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, the term gospel is obviously broader than simply Jesus died, was buried, rose, and appeared.
Yeah. And it's not just the message of how you can be individually born again.
Exactly.
It's much broader good news, especially
right.
in Paul.
Right.
Know. All right. Well, coming back to Dag's question.
He also wants to know about 1 John 2:24,
so
which you heard from the beginning.
That which you heard from the beginning. Is that the core gospel message?
And I would say what they heard from the beginning would include that, but again, it's much more. Part of what they heard from the beginning was the promise of everlasting life. If you look at 2:24, 2:25, and 2:26,
yeah.
these things are right concerning those who are trying to deceive you.
Yeah.
And he's talking about the promise of everlasting life.
Mm-hmm.
So certainly part of this would be the promise of eternal life, and part of it is the call to love one another, because all through 1 John, they've heard this call to love one another
yeah.
from the beginning.
Well, do you think that which they heard from the beginning would have just included everything in John's gospel? I mean, John may not have written his gospel at that point, but don't you think he would have communicated all that information
right.
about Jesus
oh,
to
absolutely.
Them?
Oh, absolutely. And just
this.
On the timeline, I think John's gospel was written in the 40s, like maybe mid-40s. Most people think John's gospel was written in the mid-60s. And most
or
people
90s.
Sometimes. But most people would say that the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, were written in like the 80s or early 90s. I think everything in the New Testament was written before 70 AD, before the destruction of the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that probably the epistles were written in the 60s and the gospel in the 40s. But in any regard, yeah, I would think that they would have had access to that truth.
Certainly it was preached. Absolutely. From 33 AD onwards.
You right. know. And finally, we ought to hit James 1:22, be a doer of the word.
Yeah.
And he said, is that following the core gospel message? And I would say, well, yes, because to be a doer of the word means that we are being obedient to what God has declared, and that's centered in the gospel. Now, that's it's right. much more than so, the
see,
gospel.
The word is not limited to the gospel, especially
right.
in James.
Right.
And James is all about wisdom for living and taking instruction that you've heard and the wisdom you've heard and actually putting it into practice so that sin doesn't produce these deadly consequences.
That's a good point. And y'all might check out some articles Sean has written on James's wisdom literature.
Yeah, there's a free ebook you can get called James's Wisdom Literature at our website, faithalone.org. You know, it's like the book of Proverbs. You can hear a proverb, but guess what? If you don't put it into practice, you're not going to reap the benefit of it.
Right.
I was talking to someone yesterday. This person was saying, I had a chance to buy Bitcoin when it was at X amount of dollars. It was like, you know, $100 or something. And he said, I wish they told me I should do it. It would appreciate in value, and I didn't do it.
And they didn't apply it. How about this? You told me yesterday about the original Tesla.
Tesla. So, yeah, in 2012, if you had bought the Model S,
right.
it was about $70,000. If you had taken that $70,000 and had bought Tesla stock with it, instead of the car, you would now have $9.5 million. If we had known that, now listen, I didn't have $70,000
right.
in 2012, and maybe you didn't either. But man, wouldn't you have liked to have known? Wouldn't you have liked to have put that financial advice into practice? You should invest in Tesla stock.
It may be too late now.
Well, you know, invest in your life by putting God's word into practice.
Isn't that right? Because it's always a good investment.
This is
always.
Listen, he is the designer. He's
Amen.
The maker. He knows
Amen.
What is best for your life. As William Lane Craig says, we usually trust people in authority. And or competent authority. And guess what? God is the greatest competent authority for your life. So put his investment advice for your life into practice so you can reap dividends.
Amen.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other free grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. And on the website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about when salvation by faith began. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.